Welcome to the Umpiring Fast Pitch Softball Podcast. I'm David.
And I'm Pete. And today we're going to continue our series on the mechanics of from the CCA manual. We're going to talk about point of plate, classic 90, and wedge view.
All right, so let's just get right into it. So the point of the plate or the base? So the point of the plate or base is the best starting position to read incoming plays. This position is essentially located by stepping straight back from home plate toward the backstop and obtaining a position approximately 6 to 8 feet away from the base on the opposite side as the ball.
Or.
Huh?
So you said, you said and. So it's stepping back from home plate at home plate. And then the other one is or obtaining a position approximately 6 to 8 feet away from the base opposite side of the ball. So they're describing two different, are you the home umpire or a base umpire?
Yeah, or. Definitely. Yeah, or. Actually, as I was reading that, Pete, I'm like, that doesn't make sense.
Why would yeah. That's why I'm here.
Yeah, attaboy. So from here, the umpire can see the path of the runner, the movement of the catcher, the flight of the ball, and the possible development of obstruction. Very big point there. Development of obstruction, right? The umpire will determine if they need to change their position based on the development of the play. This could be a calling position if the play dictates it. So pretty rare that point of plate is that, but it can be. So you have some support in the manual when somebody says, why did you make that call from point of plate? Well, it says I can. And
yeah.
But usually a starting position, right? Because the next two things that we're going to talk about, the classic 90 and the wedge, are more common calling positions than point of plate. But, I mean, there are definitely times where that point of plate is going to be the spot. So let's talk about the classic 90, Pete. Yeah. This is one that that you use quite a bit in USA and NFH mechanics, right?
Yep. So the classic 90 is the calling position that's 90 degrees to the path of the approaching runner, regardless of the path of the thrown ball. This position works best when a fielder is straddling the base, allowing the runner full access to the leading edge of the base, or when the fielder is in possession of the ball, extends it parallel to the base path to make a tag. For example, on a stolen base attempts at second, the classic 90 would be third base, second base line extended. On plays at the plate, the classic 90 would be first base extended, first base line extended.
Yeah, that's right. And so I always thought about this when I first learned, right, a USA guy, right? So USA was my very first, you know, Mike Burwell's USA NFHS class. And then all of my clinics, you know, the national clinic and all that stuff, all USA stuff for the first several years of my career, 10 years probably of my career. So anyway, I always thought about this as the leading edge of where they're going to be sliding into, right? Mm-hmm. And so it's like, I want to be looking down that edge of the bag. So using their second base example here, standing, so third to second base extended. And so I'm out of the diamond, not very far away, 6 feet or so. And I'm looking down the edge of second base where they're going to be sliding into. And I thought for a very long time that that is ultimately the best place to be to call that play, right? Because you can see the edge of that bag. Mm-hmm. You can see the runner's foot come into that bag, and you can see if somebody tags her.
Yeah.
Before that happens, I'm like, this is picture perfect place. And then I learned about the wedge. So really kind of a newer concept for me because, you know, again, everything was USA or high school ball until I got into college mechanics. And now, if I'm not mistaken, Jerry Fick's white book actually referenced the wedge this year. So kind of trickling its way down there. So what is the wedge? So the wedge is a different view to take on this tag play. And it's described as like this. So as the defensive players are not allowed to position themselves between the runner and the base without possession of the ball, fielders frequently set up outside the base path. They should, right? Yeah. So think about that catcher, right, who is not allowed to block that leading edge of home plate.
Yeah, so she's out in front usually, so or maybe she's out down first baseline a little bit.
That's right.
Throw's coming that way.
So almost always, this results in a swipe tag as the runner goes by.
Mm-hmm.
So the classic 90 or traditional calling position may not give the umpire the best possible view of this type of tag because they can result in the runner blocking their view of the tag.
Yeah, it's important because even when they describe the ideal classic 90, involved a player straddling the bag. So if you think about, had they been allowed to block the bag, they would be in front and that would be fine. You'd be talking about the same calling position.
Right.
But in this case, you've got players set up outside of there, potential for a swipe tag or some kind of, like at home plate, the catcher usually might collapse into the line because they got armor on.
Yep.
But yeah, so this is kind of a response to that people are now going to be tagging from different positions. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. So the wedge view refers to an umpire's continuously adjusting position at the base or plate when the fielder is receiving the ball and moving to make the tag. So this view keeps the three elements in view at all times. The side of the runner's body that will be tagged, that's the important part. Mm-hmm. The part of the base or plate that will be touched by the runner, and ultimately the tag itself. So yep. You'll be able to see all three of those things if you're working the wedge. So how do you establish a wedge view, Pete?
So first thing you have to do is the umpire must quickly move from the point of plate or base that they're at as their initial position to set up approximately 6 to 8 feet behind the fielder, imagining a rope connecting the umpire's belt buckle to the fielder's plate or base side hip. If the fielder moves up, the umpire moves up the same distance. If the fielder rotates, the umpire moves along an arc, maintaining the distance and relative position with respect to the defender's hip and shoulders. In essence, the umpire is always able to see the same thing that the fielder sees. As the fielder brings the ball to the runner, continue to rotate with the fielder if necessary to keep the tag in view. This is the thing. A lot of people describe some of this, or they'll say things quickly in some of the posts and say, imagine a rope connected to this and this. I've not always found that super helpful.
Right.
Yeah, so it's like, maybe we can describe this in a slightly different way. Helpful. So think about what you're trying to accomplish. You know, so we're sitting here and we're trying to keep all the elements in view. So we move from point of plate. We set up 6 to 8 feet behind the fielder. And so first thing, what are you trying to do? You're trying to see where's the ball coming from? Where's the tag likely to be, you know, knowing the ball, and you want to see the base the runner's trying to achieve. And you want to see all of that right at the same time and the runner coming in. So, but if the fielder moves, so you think about the throw, you originally thought the throw was going to come maybe from, it's like right center or something, right? And then maybe the ball kicks off something a little bit, and now it's coming from a little farther left. And so the fielder has now rotated a little bit. You're going to receive the throw, which means the tag's going to maybe be in a slight place. Maybe the runner's deviated their path. And so the fielder is like now positioning themselves a little better to anticipate that. You're going to turn at the same time they turn. So I like the idea here. So some of the rope things I always found a little confusing, but I like the wording here where it talks about you're always turning. So in essence, the umpire is always able to see the same thing that the fielder sees. So it's almost like you are the fielder's shadow as they're doing it. You put yourself 6 feet away.
I like that.
And as they're turning, you're turning. And as you're doing this, you're doing this. So it's like you're almost like their shadow.
Yep.
And then you're going to emulate them until it comes time to get to the end, at which point, you know, it focuses and talks about the fielder sees as the fielder brings the ball to the runner, continue to rotate if necessary to keep the tag in view. So you're, as the ball's coming down and doing whatever, now you're making that move.
You're moving with. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think about it this way. I think about the 6 foot as like the loop side of a sextant, if you will. So like a curve at the bottom of the plate. You should see the look I'm getting from Pete now. I used a really bad term, I guess.
No, it's fine. I just wonder
like where it came from.
No, I know what a sextant is.
No, like where it came out, how it came out of my head. Because I'm old. But I just think about that loop. You get that 6 foot established from the point of the plate, and mm-hmm. it's a curve. That's 6 foot. You could draw it with a compass, right?
Yeah.
And so you draw this 6 foot curve, and you are working on that curve and adjusting to wherever the catcher is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so if I think about it, it's only at home plate. I'm just using that as my visual. So you're adjusting to the catcher, right? Mm-hmm. So as the catcher was way up, you might be up rotated around to the right side of the curve. And then as she's moving, you just stay on that curve, but you move with her. And so you'll see that, and you watch some of these regionals and super regionals that are going to be on TV here this week. You're going to see those umpires work that curve, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's how I do it too. But yeah, as I was reading that, or we were reading through that paragraph, it's like, well, somebody had to do a good job of trying to describe it with words, you know, because it's really something that
and they didn't feel like enough visually. People would have a working knowledge of a sextant to be able to describe it that way.
Man, I knew it was going to come after me for that one. All right, so because of this dynamic relationship between the umpire, the runner, and the fielder, there are an infinite number of possible calling positions that can result.
Ooh, I like that. It's working some good math in there. Because,
I
mean, there aren't an infinite number of numbers between, like, 1 and 2.
There are.
And so, I mean, technically, there are an infinite number of positions on the field.
Yes, right, even around the bottom curve of that sextant, too.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I always say.
For example, on plays at the plate, this may result in the umpire rotating to the first base side of the plate. The umpire must move smoothly and maintain control of the field of view. Almost always, for me, I think about the wedge as moving to the first base side of the plate.
Mm-hmm.
So otherwise, I'm really kind of on that traditional 90.
Yeah.
Right? That's where you're at on the curve, is that kind of that traditional 90 spot,
mm-hmm.
unless you're going to work the wedge and then you're going to jump around, go on around that curve. You guys can't see me moving around the curve. But
just imagine a sextant.
So, I'm never going to live that one down. All right. So in all situations, staying close to the fielder gives the umpire the ability to change angles quickly to prevent the runner from coming between the fielder and the umpire, therefore allowing a great view of the tag or no tag and the touch of the base or plate by the runner. Also, this allows a great view of obstruction. 100% that. Great view of obstruction, right? Because you are looking up the line at the runner. Mm-hmm. Right. And so you can see if that runner gets blocked and impeded in any way, right? You can see right through it. I think that's fantastic. And a very good point, a piece of advice. First thing you're looking for
is a sextant.
Obstruction. In the NCAA, the setup of that catcher or that fielder cannot block the leading edge of that plate. If they set up blocking, you got obstructions on.
Mm-hmm.
Obstruction can be off only one way in that instance. Two ways. Two ways. The one way that I was referring to the first time is that obviously out. It's like, oops, yep, she shouldn't have ran. She's dead to rights, nailed her. We're going to go ahead and call her out, even though the catcher set up in an obstructing position. And so there's that, and we could talk about that another time.
And that's in college. Yep. We talked about that a little
college.
Bit.
Yep. Yep. So that's one. What do you know the other one? Can you think of it?
Are you going to say malicious contact?
Yeah, exactly. Yep, that'll cancel it too.
So think about this. So you're talking about, imagine a throw is coming from right field. You got a runner rounding third and coming to home. You got a throw coming from right field. And so the catcher is in front of the plate, but like kind of to the first base line side, just about. And so if I was in the traditional like 90, that would put me up the third baseline, right? So I'm 90 degrees kind of from all those things. I'm up that way looking at it. And so in the wedge, I would be middle of the field. Or where would I be in that?
No, case? You'd be around third baseline extended if you were going to do that.
So
if you were
going, is that wedge. Different from where you'd be in the 90? Because that's what I described. Where would I be in the classic 90 then?
First baseline extended, but on the leading edge of the plate, still foul.
Oh no, you said third baseline extended. Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Yep. Yeah. Okay. I was thinking third base side. I heard you, but I wasn't listening.
Oh, gotcha.
Okay. So or the other way around. Whichever word the words didn't sink in.
Right.
Okay. So yes. Okay. If I was third base extended, so then I'm behind the plate still.
Yep. Still in foul territory.
Mm-hmm. And the wedge, and then
you're always in foul territory. Calling a tag play at home plate, you're in foul territory unless something bad happened and the ball went behind you, right?
Oh yeah, and it was coming. Then it's coming.
Get in, yeah.
There,
yeah. But yeah, anything coming from the field, from out in the field, yeah, you're in foul territory.
But if you said always. So, if in a wedge in the play I described, you're talking about being third baseline extended,
mm-hmm.
how would I not then be blocked by the catcher who would take that throw from right?
Because you are inside her left hip. You're keeping her on your right side.
Oh, and so as she comes back to the plate, I'm continuing. That's why you keep moving. I move left as well.
That's right.
And then stay there. And so now I'm.
So you keep her on your right side, mm-hmm. right? No matter what. So you're constantly moving with her so that she's on your right side and you can see through. And so then you're going to see that left hand come down and tag that. Yeah, and we'll probably hear that windy stuff on the podcast, but or maybe not because I have a fantastic editor. Of the thing. But anyway, so yeah, you're going to be able to see that tag come through your line of vision, right? Because you're looking past her left hip. You see the catch, the here comes the thing. And then you're going to be looking right down on where she tags that runner on the leg, foot, you know, whatever, before or after the runner touches home plate that's right in front of you. So you're going to be looking right down on that play.
So when you're doing that, so that's why I want to break this down. It's just to help. I think it helps understand it. It's at least helping me understand it. I cannot then see the throw coming in. So much because if I'm looking, what am I looking at? So I'm standing there. I have to look to my right to see the fielder, and I have to look to my left to see the runner. I can't see both simultaneously.
Correct. Now the throw's happened, uh-huh. right? So you were point of plate,
uh-huh.
right? You were point of plate, and then the throw happened, and you're like, oh, like this is going to be a wedge. I need to wedge this one, right? I want to get over here, and so you're moving. You're making that initial adjustment from point of plate. So you're not seeing the fielder anymore. You saw that part. That part's done. Now you're watching the catcher, the ball, then the runner, and the plate.
Yeah. So, but you will at least seem like for a minute lose contact with the ball then, or lose contact with the runner? Because I have to...
Well, one or the other.
Yeah, yeah, I have to look away. So which one's more important?
Well, the runner and obstruction and all everything that's happening here at the plate is the most important thing. Nothing's going to happen with that ball until the catcher gets it or it's, you know, coming that way, right?
Yeah.
And remember, you're also 6 to 8 feet behind her.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So you're not only do you have her off to your right, but you're also 6 to 8 feet behind. So you should be able to still see the ball, unless it's coming from way right field, and then you're probably not in the right spot anyway, yeah. Right? So you should still be able to see most of it, almost all the time. There's probably, you know, far right field, right foul territory.
Yeah.
Maybe it'd be hard to see it, but.
And if it was that imminent, the throw's not getting it from it. There's no play.
Right.
Yeah. So if the throw's, someone's in the corner.
That's right.
Or like out that way, right? The ball was a classic triple, a right line thing down there. Someone goes and gets it and they're throwing the ball in. Most likely that person has already done
scored.
Right.
Yeah, for sure.
Unless they're trying to stretch it to like a home, inside the Parker or something.
Yep. And then the other thing is remember that the book says always an adjustment. Mm-hmm. You know, you're constantly moving and making an adjustment as that catcher's moving. Really like the wedge. I argued against it for a while as it was, you know, a new concept to me. I thought, because I think I said this earlier in the episode, it was like this classic 90 is the perfect thing. I see where the girl is trying to slide into it right here. I can see everything. Well, you can't see that swipe tag very well, can you? Well, I thought I could. Until somebody showed me how to look at it from this direction. And then I went, ooh, I can really see it now. Yeah, this is way better. So, you know, learning and growing as an umpire. So page 54 describes the wedge. And if you have questions about it or want us to go into further detail or whatever, hit us up on our Facebook page or go to the website, umpiringfastpitch.com.
Fastpitchsoftball.com.
Yeah, I don't even know the website. Anyway, thanks for listening.
Yep, until next time.